There's something you should know about the Saudi regime. Today we're going to have a history lesson.
Ah, the Holy Kaaba. In Mecca and Medina, the center points of Islam, the holiest places in the world, known as the Hijaz.
In the holy city of Medina, where the mausoleum of the Holy Prophet stands, there was a beautiful garden cemetery, where his kindred were also laid to rest.
But it was demolished in 1806,
when the Saudis decided that they would suddenly be the kings of the sacred Hijaz. Now, there are many noble figures of Islamic history held in high esteem who are buried in the cemetery of Jannatul Baqi, and it was reconstructed in the mid-19th century.
But the Saudis just couldn't bear that,
so they destroyed it again in 1925. So just who are these Saudis, eh? And why would they want so desperately to destroy the graves of the family of the Holy Prophet?
The history goes all the way back to Hadith-i Thaqalayn, where the Holy Prophet said, "I am leaving behind two weighty things.
So long as you hold on to them, you will never go astray." The Quran being a rope and a divine connection to Allah, and the progeny, who are the guides of the Ummah, to explain it. Essentially, they, the progeny, are the true guides and leaders of the Muslim Ummah. So naturally, if you're trying to take control of the Muslim world, you'd want to obliterate any signs of the Holy Prophet's family from the face of the earth. And that's exactly what the Saudis are trying to do.
Oh, but that's none of my business, because that's all just politics, right?
Now, the Saudi regime, the majority of the power of which is contained within about 2,000 individuals, claims to have authority over 1.5 billion Muslims.
The Saudi regime has gone through three phases.
Number one,
when this guy, Ibn Abdul Wahhab and bin Saud, formed an alliance, the first Saudi state, to establish a new religious, sect and political sovereignty against Sunni Islam.
Well, how did these idiots manage to do that?
Well, a British spy, allegedly, said, "When the unity of Muslims is broken, their forces will be dissolved, and thus we shall easily destroy them." This British spy allegedly also said that they intended to ultimately weaken Muslim morale, but that his first step was to promote innovation and disorder inside Islam by creating Wahhabism. And thus were the Saudis formed. They even went so far as to gain command of the Shia holy city of Karbala in 1801, where they demolished numerous graves of holy saints and massacred over 5,000 people.
Sounds kind of familiar.
Ah, yes, Daesh. You see, Saudis are neither Sunni nor Shia. They are, in fact, Takfiri Wahhabis, just as Daesh are Takfiri Wahhabis. So then they marched to Mecca and Medina, and they conquered the Holy Hijaz.
But this didn't sit too well with the Ottomans,
and their leader, named Muhammad Ali, fought them back and chopped off the Saudi king's head, thus marking the end of the first Saudi state. But the distorted sect of Wahhabism remained, as did the rest of the Saudi clan.
Number two,
the second Saudi state was formed. Now, this era was mostly marked by continuous infighting. You know what the Saudis can be like, you know, always fighting with each other. So the Sharif of Mecca led a revolt against the Ottomans to create a united Arab state, with the encouragement of and support of the British, which eventually led to
number three,
the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as we know it today. And with the discovery of petroleum in 1938, the Saudis have since become the world's largest oil producer and exporter.
And that's pretty much it.
The Saudi regime has since been an absolute monarchy, effectively a hereditary dictatorship, something which the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt have been against from the very beginning.
Let's just imagine it. If all Muslims recognized their leaders to be those who had knowledge, integrity, wisdom, piety, and all the other traits that need to be in a leader.
Leadership over the Islamic Ummah does not belong to any old dimwit just because he's the heir to the throne. So to the Saudi regime, we say your time is up. For supporting the oppressive Al-Khalifa regime in Bahrain, for supporting and providing ammunition to Daesh terrorists across the world, especially in Syria. Indeed, the Saudi regime is even worse than tyrants of the past. I mean, look at them. When the Saudis took over the sacred lands of the Hijaz, they renamed the land of the Muslims after themselves. Even the Pharaoh didn't rename Egypt Pharaohstan. I mean, have you heard of another place in the world where women are not allowed to drive? And now, while bombing Yemen and funding Daesh terrorists across the world, the Saudi regime has decided to build the biggest tower in the world. Hooray! This is the Burj Khalifa. It's nothing. This is the Kingdom Tower, which the Saudi regime wants to build.
But that too is nothing, because this is the Holy Quran, and it says, "Do not walk proudly on the earth, for surely you are not taller than the mountains." I mean, who is King Salman? Who's his son? Who is his father? Nobody's, they're idiots. I'm not being rude here. Like, seriously, this is not a joke. I looked up the word idiot. You know what it means? It means a stupid person. Now, the question is, why would the West promote such buffoons to become the overlords of the Muslim Ummah? Let me think. On May the 20th, 2017, the US President Donald Trump, the very same man who before becoming president said, "It's the world's biggest funder of terrorism." He comes along and he signs the biggest arms deal in American history of $350 billion. I mean, wow. The transaction included tanks, combat ships, missile defense systems, as well as radar communications and cybersecurity technology. So when you see the Saudi regime brutally massacring the people of Yemen, who have been suffering over 800 days from an extreme humanitarian crisis, famine, and the continuous bombing of their homes, you should have no doubts about who's behind it all. And of course, they're great buddies with the Zionist regime. This hideous creature passed a fatwa against showing solidarity with the Palestinian cause. And he's not the only Saudi mufti who's passed fatwas and made it haram to support Palestine. The Holy Quran states, "Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are firm against the disbelievers, merciful amongst themselves." But the Saudi regime do the exact opposite, being merciful amongst the disbelievers and being firm against the believers. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, who is the leader because of his knowledge, his piety, taqwa, and courage, not because of heritage, wealth, or power given by tyrants, has said, "These idiots, Saudis, think that they can win the intimacy of Islam's enemies. No such intimacy exists. The Saudis are like dairy cows. They, the enemy, will milk them. And when there's no more milk left, they will slaughter them." And when this man says something, by the grace of Allah, it always comes true. As Muslims, we have a duty. Just as we have the duty to pray and fast and stay away from the haram stuff and do all the wajib stuff, we need to support the oppressed and go against the oppressor.